Good People is a play by David Lindsay Abaire. It's a powerful, often funny glimpse into the lives of a colorful tribe of Southie locals. And when Margie loses her job at the dollar store, her friends convince her to look up her old high school boyfriend, Mikey, who made good and left the neighborhood to become a doctor. Margie visits Mikey to see if he might help her find a job, but it soon becomes clear that their relationship is, well, complicated, which is great for theater. Half Moon Theater presents Good People at the Kinnean Hackett Arts Center Theater on Vassar Street in Poughkeepsie, March 15th through the 24th. And it's a great pleasure to welcome the director of the show, Paul Castle, who joins us by telephone. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Joe.
And actors Amy Lemon Olson, who plays Margie. Hello, Amy.
How are you, Joe?
I am fine. And Michael Rhodes, who plays Mike.
How are you?
It is a pleasure to have you all here. Paul, give us a sense of this show and how you came to it.
Well, first I have to correct you. It's Margie with
Margie.
The G.
Margie.
You know, that's the Southie way.
Yes, okay.
Right. Actually, the reviews came out.
Is that all you have to correct me on that?
Yeah.
I take that as a success,
you know,
I have to say.
See about that, Joe. Let's
all
see
right.
how it goes.
It's early in the segment, I realize. go on.
A couple years ago when the play first came out, we saw the reviews and Frances McDormand's tremendous performance, and somebody in the company, I can't actually remember who, I believe went down and saw it, and we saw immediately it was a perfect fit for our company, the right age range, the right number of people, fairly simple setting, and most important of all, terrific opportunities for actors and a play whose story had to be told and was very timely. So we were hot on it, and our producer, Christy Grimes, was very aggressive in pursuing the rights, and we're proud to say that we're the Hudson Valley premiere of the play, the professional premiere. So very exciting. We're thrilled to have it, and of course we got this terrific cast. Michael and Amy are just tremendous. So it is, really was a good confluence of events.
When you have a cast this size, is it manageable, or does it bring with it a whole new set of challenges?
Well, with it's a different kind of challenge. Previously, I directed Is He Dead for the company, and that was a very big play, and it was mostly about moving people around and traffic cop kind of duties and shtick, where this is really about moment-to-moment behavior, and the director's job is sort of like the doctor's. First, do no harm, and try to stay out of the way and just nurture and guide the performances and help tell the story to the audience and just let those performances loose. And so it requires a sort of different kind of attention. And what we discovered in doing the play, it's almost Chekhov-like. I know that everyone uses Chekhov these days, but it's true. They're the micro moments, the things that happen in between lines or with the smallest little utterances, what did you say, or excuse me, these tiny little moments where the whole play turns. And so that requires a very highly focused attention, and that's a particular challenge for everybody.
Because using Chekhov can, you know, that can be a blessing or a curse. Can?
Yes, it can.
True.
You know, we don't want people there to go, oh my God, run away from Chekhov. This is a good muscular American play with good muscular Americans talking trash to each other.
Well, hello, muscular Americans. How are you two?
I'm well. I'm flexing right now.
So, Amy, let us begin with you. You play Margie.
I do.
Give us a sense of this character and what your thoughts are on playing this individual.
Well, it's a marvelous character, and it's a marvelous chance to dig deep into some profound emotional concepts. And Margie, it starts, she is fired from her job at the dollar store. Now, that's about as low as you can get. So that's when the play begins. And so she goes through this journey of trying not to become homeless, like her friend Cookie, who lives out on the sidewalk and is homeless. So Margie's desperate from the beginning of the play. And her best friend Jean says, well, you know, why don't you look up that guy? You know, you used to know from the neighborhood, your friend, you know, Mikey. So he made good. Mikey went out and he was always smart. We say that a lot in the play. He was so smart. And he went out and made good and is a big, fancy doctor who's moved back to Boston. So I go see him.
Yeah.
And that's really where the conflict in the play starts, is that how our past comes and collides and all the sparks start to fly about how he left Boston and how he managed to get out, and I'm still stuck there in this really marginal life.
And how much, I would assume, Mike, how much can you really leave your past?
Well, yeah, especially for this guy who, you know, Mikey did everything he could to get away from that neighborhood, yet he finds himself back in Boston 30 years later, and, you know, his past comes literally knocking on his door. And, you know, 30 years of festering history comes to light, and it just kind of goes uphill and downhill from there.
And so that's a ride that the audience takes. It's a ride that you take every night when you're doing it. And so to do that and to do it effectively, the writing has to just be spot on, I assume.
Yeah, it's funny. We've all been saying, and even Paul mentioned that it's something that is incredibly difficult for the actors to really mine the depths of the subtext that's in the play. You know, it's very apparent on stage. You know, a friend of mine played this in Chicago, and he and I were talking, and I remember just saying to him, I said, "This is one of the hardest things I've ever done, and it will not look like that to the audience."
Right.
You know, because there's so much history that you're putting into the silence. You know, it really is a play where what's happening underneath the page is the story of the play. And that, for an actor, is really amazing to do. You live to play these kind of parts. They don't come along often. So when somebody, you know, gives you a call and says, "Do you want to play this part?" You go, "Yes, I do."
Bring it on.
Yeah.
And I assume that's the same for the director, Paul, right? I mean, that you want to be able to figure out how to make those silences work.
Absolutely. One of the things about the writing, which is so brilliant, is it seems like the most ordinary of conversations are occurring about a story about a woman shoplifting, the casual conversations about crafts and pottery, barn kind of rabbits, but yet there's not a single wasted word in the play. Everything leads naturally and organically to the next moment, and a lot of it is kind of an analysis and picking it apart and slowly moving through it in a rehearsal process, and then, of course, putting it all back together. And when we understand the little turns, then we trust them, they sort of take care of themselves once you understand what's really happening. And again, I think the actors begin to get out of the way of their own performances, which emerge, you know, over time as we craft each thing moment to moment. And then the audience looks like it's the easiest thing of all, which is exactly, you know, the whole point of the craft, is getting to that point where it's effortless.
I love that you brought up the term trust, because it's so important, and obviously in a work like this is essential. But that comes through working it out, right? I mean, that really comes through dissection and working together and figuring out what the nuances are.
Absolutely, and I think that's the ordinary rehearsal process. But the beauty of a company and people who have worked together, and I've worked with every single one of these actors before. And in fact, just last summer, Michael and Amy and I worked together on a show. So the trust is also built over time and mutual respect, and sort of shorthand that is developed over time, so you can communicate quickly the need of the moment, or the actor can say to me something that I understand because I understand how Amy's process is involved in choice making, and the same with Michael. And it's kind of like a dance; you get better at it the more you do it, and that's part of the pleasure, and what we hope to believe the audience comes back again and again to Half Moon Productions. Is that sense of company, and that these are people they know, and it's a pleasure to see them doing and transforming themselves show to show.
I assume, and for the two actors, I assume that another word for company is chemistry, in the sense that you have that chemistry with one another. There, again, going back to the trust, that you trust one another, but that's something that can happen or cannot happen, and you either try to compensate for it in another way, but when it's there, I assume it's great.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, the chemistry certainly has to be there, but there's also that, oh, the way that Michael works on his craft is similar to mine. So we have this unspoken language together where, you know, it has to do with the timing, and that, you know, he'll let me have that moment and he understands what I'm doing, and then I'll let him have his, and then we jump in when we know to jump in. And it's a great joy and a pleasure to work with someone who's as talented as Michael and who we know each other through the work, you know, not so much personally, which is kind of cool because we just know each other through our work together. And this piece is so rich and so deep and so beautiful. And for the audience to go on this ride with us and this experience with us is just a really lovely, meaningful experience night in the theater. Great fun. It's like a roller coaster ride.
How much do you take it home with you in the sense of thinking about those characters and thinking about what they're saying and what they're doing?
It's unavoidable. You know, you try to leave your work behind, but, you know, I was saying to Amy last night after the rehearsal is that, you know, I'd done a play last summer where, you know, the other actor and I just ripped ourselves apart emotionally, but there was a sense of connection at the end of it. And this is, while there is a hopeful note for some don't get that hope. And so you open yourself up just emotionally and physically to what's going on there, and I think it's unavoidable that it somehow impacts you and you walk around with it for a little while.
Oh, absolutely! It's
you almost want it, right?
Well, you do. It goes really into your unconscious in a lot of ways. And my daughters are so sick of hearing the Southie accent, I can't even tell you. They're like, Mom, would you cut it out? But it just comes flooding in there. But it's not just that. You do because of Margie, I do feel in my heart her journey and her purpose and what she's going through. You can't help when you're doing that work. It does bubble and percolate in there, and you sort of save it for the stage and for the moment where you unleash it, which is really fun. But yeah, you hold it, you walk around with it for sure, show.
And you have everything on your shoulders, right, Paul?
I mean, well, I don't know about that, but
well, I mean, you're looking at the product as a whole. I mean, it's not your part;
absolutely.
It's the whole thing,
right? And so, you know, your concerns and are or the result or the impact. That's what I'm looking for. The impact is a little bit different. But I was going to say, you know, it's like any other kind of exertion. If you do the same thing over and over and over again, necessarily you're going to sort of entrain your body and your feelings in a certain way, and you have to find ways to recover. And one of the ways people recover, is the actors and directors, is talking about it and seeing the play. But it's not until the audience comes that we get that final sort of release, because that's what we're all exerting ourselves for, is for their entertainment and pleasure and hopefully intellectual stimulation as well. So I try to find, I'm very purposeful about how I recuperate, and sometimes that involves a simple glass of wine, and sometimes it just involves quiet time in the car or listening to WAMC, actually.
We try to facilitate that, yes, and bring a moment of calm if we can. This is a wonderful production. Half Moon Theater presents Good People at the Kenneen Hackett Arts Center Theater on Vassar Street in Poughkeepsie. It all starts March 15th and runs through the 24th. There's performances Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you do it again next week for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. To learn more, you can visit halfmoontheater.org, halfmoontheater.org. Amy Lemon Olson and Michael Rhodes and Paul Castle, thank you so much for being with us, Break Legs. And again, it's just a delight to have you all here, and it sounds like a wonderful production.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. So kind.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.